listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 22nd. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. I'm glad to be here as always.
So glad to have you and so glad to have those joining us live. We appreciate your contributions. As somebody had written earlier, the interactive feel of the chat just makes it so much more interesting. And we do appreciate those that catch up with us in the archives. We know things are busy, and especially in this day and age, things are a little bit more on demand, and it's harder to carve out that time for a live broadcast. But we appreciate you catching up with us, and we appreciate your contributions by email as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, before we get into tonight's topic, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, but we are going to be coming back to these. And we start with 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, tonight's topic, what defines right and wrong? And I think there's no better way to get this started than to talk about the, you know, ethics when it comes to animals. I don't know if you can hear it. Dr. Vicki says she can't, but my cat is meowing like bloody murder at the garage door because she wants to go out in the garage and explore. So what makes it a morally right thing for me to throw an old 1930s style boot at her as if from a cartoon? But yeah, no, of course. But, you know, that is, and I do apologize if it does come over. I hope it doesn't. But yeah, what defines right and wrong? It's such a weighty question, and it's such a matter of perspective. But Dr. Vicki, what are you thinking?
You know, defining right and wrong will come up with billions of answers because everybody by their own belief system will define what's right and wrong. And that's why Dr. Kelly developed the principles of belief. And, you know, Michael and I were talking a little bit before the program about right and wrong versus what's good and bad, you know. And if we put it in perspective, what's good and bad, again, it's still going to be a subjective thing. But if we go through the 9 principles of belief, and just to take it to a fundamental level, do no harm, do right, for instance, you know, you want to do no harm, but what is the right thing when you're in a situation that instinct kicks in or a response kicks in? It's you know, are we mature enough to know what is the right thing to do? And sometimes we don't. Would that be helping somebody, punching them out, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
protecting yourself.
And, you know, to dovetail with that is something I've always felt, is that the nice thing to do is not always the good thing to do or the right thing to do.
You know, that's a really good point, Michael. You know, I see a lot of passive parenting these days, and it's not turning out real well for them. It's like they think that they're doing the right thing by negotiating, letting things go, you know, and yet, you know, children kind of get let loose and not behaving well.
Yeah.
And the right thing is a certain amount of discipline, but what is the right kind of discipline when everybody thinks that, you know, everything is too harsh,
mm-hmm.
that would calm, you know, create harm. And yet, if we look at the results, what we're doing isn't necessarily working at every
level. Right.
So we have to address that. You know, and principle number two is we believe we can triumph over anything. But we also then have to help each other. You know, so invoke the counselor within. It's, again, going back to that do no harm, do right. It's like, who
right.
are we? But we also have to take into consideration that, you know, the next thing about responsibility in principle three. And because if we have, tying back to what we've been talking about, or I've been mm-hmm. talking about, is we're responsible.
Right.
You know, if we're not liking the outcome, it means we're responsible for how it got started and, you know, kind of like how the car is driving. So it kind of has to then get taken to the shop and get looked at and say, yikes, it's, you know, inspect the vehicle to say, this isn't driving very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm kicking up, you know, fuel and black smoke out of the exhaust, and, you know, it's really loud, the muffler's gone, and you got to fix those things. But as human beings in our psychology, we don't necessarily do that. One of the things that Michael and I were talking about again before the program is how then people tend to follow the pack, which is the Ash conformity experiment, which Dr. Kelly writes about also, you know, that, you know, you can have 10 people in a room give the wrong mm-hmm. answer, and somebody said, well, that's not right. But then 9 people are saying, well, yeah, that's the right answer. And eventually that 1 out of 10 that say, well, that wasn't the right answer, it will join the pack. And this is when we have that pack mentality
mm-hmm.
kind of in our society. And it's been proven time and again in psychology, is going the path of least resistance. So when do you stand up for what you think is right, even though you might be all alone in that?
Right.
That's a tough one.
And I think it comes back to the balance, and, you know, you have to pick your battles.
Mm.
But it's a judgment call as to when you engage, when you stand up for that. And there's no real manual on this in terms of that judgment call. You know, what does it mean to do right? So you adjust, you know, you, like you said earlier about the mechanics, you go in, you tweak things if it's not working, and mm. you see what needs to be adjusted.
Well, in principle four, if we understand that we're one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny, we're all equal. You know, we're a species,
mm-hmm.
and we're all equal in being a species. But we tend to think from a place of hierarchy.
Very true.
And that hierarchy, whether and different cultures have it different ways. You know, you're of the educated one, you know, you're of the tradespeople, you're of, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of hierarchies. I see it even simply with my grandkids. My grandson got new skis last year, and, you know, I was over visiting the other day, and he was saying he wants new skis. Well, I started laughing. Of course, the parents don't like it that I laugh at stuff like that, but I mean, because his friends got new skis. See, and I had said, you know, I think we all have to realize that you're really a fortunate family that you can go skiing and that you have skis.
Very true.
The flip side is that I totally get that pressure about trying to fit in, and you have your own reality. So what is someone's reality?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't have money to get my kids to go skiing, and, you know, and my daughter would be the first one to say, we're really blessed that we can get, you know, get the family pass, and the kids are skiing every winter and doing things, but we can't afford new skis. That's where we have to draw the line. And my daughter's still on her skis that are 22 years old.
Yeah.
How then do you get someone's mind to adjust into a reality they've not experienced or
mm-hmm.
don't know about? It's that, you know, eat all the food on your plate, because there are people starving in the world. what does that mean to me?
Yeah. And I think, you know, that we are equal also comes into people that are used to these kind of, you know, more, not the skiing itself is opulent per se, but people that are used to a certain thing. And
exactly.
We'll start to look at others who don't have that as, you know, less than. A lot of times, mm-hmm. Speaking of experiments, we, you know, can look to, and I can't remember who to cite on this, so I apologize, but if you Google it, I'm sure it'll come up. Where essentially, in a game of Monopoly, they gave more people, you know, more money. They know, hey, we're giving you more money because this is an experiment, da 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 da. And over time, they were asking questions about, you know, worthiness, do I deserve this, etc. And over time, the people that were given money decided that they deserved it also because they were more skilled and things like that, even though it was random. I don't know what to cite for that, but this also makes me think of objective morality, which dovetails into, use that twice, which comes into number 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Because if we are going to talk about what defines right and wrong, it may, you know, to those people out there that talk about the fact that all morality is subjective and relative, which is not something I adhere to, I think that most will agree to a objective set of things. We all know it's wrong to murder. We know it's wrong to destroy innocence. We know it's wrong to steal from others. And, you know, I'd say that one is a sliding scale depending on how starving you are and if you're going after that loaf of bread. But,
yeah.
But these are some core things. And if we can get to an objective sense of morality, if we as metaphysical humanists, as metaphysicians, if we acknowledge that we are all equal and we honor the divine energy that exists on all living things, that gives us a starting point. Because if that's true, then we go into the other ethics and things like that. Because then you can say, you know, how we treat animals is a degree of right and wrong, isn't it? And that becomes, if you're going to take those 2 points... After that, if, you know, those things being true, then we can start to define certain acts of cruelty as objectively immoral.
Well, and I think that we'd be taking care of, you know, our planet better all the way around.
Well, we should.
You know, because divine energy exists in all things.
Exactly.
So and we would have more regard rather than living from a place of fear. We'd be living from a place of proactive productivity and consideration. And, you know, and again, let's just go through them, Michael. Principle 6, you know, we believe that consciousness survives the death of the physical body. Think about that for a second. If we know that we survive beyond this moment in some form, then we'd be less greedy, I think, and less afraid of death and less of, and, you know, it's this trying to cheat death, trying to cheat life, trying to cheat it because everything is in the now and you have to have it, you know, whereas it's this flow of energy and having that respect and regard for it. Because then we're into principle 7 about self-actualization, you know, that, and it all is a synergy here. How it all kind of works together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when you go into principle 8, you know, maintain an open but grounded mind and being open to possible other realities and be respectful of other realities. And of course, number 9, it's basically about how we're back to Star Trek. I love this because it's like exploring consciousness. And if we consider that we're spiritual beings before we're human in organics, and that we return, and we always live with that spiritual essence, and we return to that spiritual essence or that conscious essence, consciousness, then I think we have more regard and understanding of do no harm, do right, and, you know, what defines... you know, good and bad and right and wrong and how we move forward. I don't know. I'm not clear all the time about that word karma, except in the sense of cause and effect. You know, there's always a cause and effect. Now, if that doesn't impact your daily life immediately, like instant karma, John Lennon, then maybe it's later. You know, so what are the results again of what we've created? And if we don't take responsibility for that to rectify it and do something new, then we're going to continue to live something in an irresponsible manner.
That was inappropriate. I'm sorry. I was
laughing at me.
No, I'm laughing at my cat because it. And I'm glad you can't hear her, but it sounds like, you know, some horrible injustice is going on in the other room. And she stopped for a moment. And I was like, okay, I think she's done. And then she just picked up in a much higher pitch. And that's when I started chuckling. I'm sorry. It just kind of came out.
No, it's all right.
So, but I, you know, I get what you're saying. And, you know, something that I had also wanted to touch on was some things that are going on in chat. I believe it was earlier when we were talking about ethics and morality in that regard. Dr. Mike in chat had put, some know this, but not all. Tabitha had agreed, talking about morals, that not everybody has the same values or morals, and all of us can justify our actions, and I think that's a great point, because nobody thinks they're the bad guy. The Nazis didn't think they were the bad guys. They thought they were doing right. And that's where you have to take self-responsibility, but yet also respect for free will. Earlier, you know, we combine those because we respect others and their free will. That's a core value.
Yeah.
And we take self-responsibility to reflect on ourselves where nobody thinks they're the bad guy. So statistically, we know that some people are just in the wrong and they just can't see it. Or they're sociopaths and they just don't care. But we have to reflect sometimes and keep our own ideas, you know, question everything is a great principle in itself, because we have to examine our own actions and were we in the wrong? Even though from our perspective we didn't feel at the time, could it be that from a different perspective? And I think that's important to touch on too.
Well, Dr. Zach has said in the chat, everybody's a bad guy in somebody's story. And thanks for that, Zach, because I think that's, you know, as Dr. Kelly puts it very succinctly, everybody has that I'm special thing going on. And protective of your own cognitive dissonance in a way that I find greater entertainment, honestly. Sometimes, you know, it's disappointing, but observing people, and I feel like as I get older, I'm in a greater place of an objective observing. And I've always been an observer, and I look for patterns. I like to study people and psychology and so on. But it's watching the behaviors as though I'm watching a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a pretty sad movie. But not taking – my point is I don't take it personally anymore. I don't feel compelled to go out and fix the world, except to live in my own reality and impact what I encounter. And again, back to whether that's in the grocery store or, you know, looking at somebody in the eye, I am shocked at how many people don't look at you when they serve you.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite amazing, you know, that they say, oh, thanks for coming in, but they're looking down at, you know, something else. I thought, well, you don't really care. That's a speech.
Yeah.
That lack of connectiveness that's going on. And this is what we as metaphysicians, if we can recognize that in ourselves and not become that, we set that example. But again, it goes back to that's, you know, what's right and wrong. I think that we can agree on is a fairly simple right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because, you know, a lot of things are perspective, but there are some things that are core. And, you know, just being the, you know, kind of history nerd that I like to be, when on earlier, you know, we talked about Dr. Zach said everybody is the bad guy in somebody's story, just made me think about something I'd been looking into, and that's the Persian Empire of old. Because to the Greeks, they were the bad guys, right? Because that was their perspective. But to the people in Mesopotamia, they tended to be the good guys in a lot of situations. Not always. If you were a rebellious tribe, then they'd come down hard on you. But they were tolerant in a lot of ways that the other older peoples hadn't been, the Assyrians and Babylonians and the Persians and Cyrus, the founder, he has a notable place in the Bible because he, when he conquered Babylon, like he did with a lot of peoples, sent them back to their homeland and, you know, helped reestablish their faith. That was kind of something the Persians did. So it's a matter of perspective, because if you look at, like, the movie The 300, the Persians are definitely the bad guys. But if you look at, you know, history in a lot of perspectives, they're the good guys. And, you know, that just takes a whole spin on what is... And that also led me to another thing I was thinking about, and this is a movie quote that I think about a lot of times. It's from the movie Clear and Present Danger with Harrison Ford, based on a book by Tom Clancy. And in it, he basically is going against some people in the CIA. All right, so we're back again. Again, we're going to give it a minute for people to refresh. But I tell you, I'm going to blame the Illuminati, as I often do. They're always out to get me.
The Illuminati.
It's not paranoia when they're actually out to get you.
Well, that's a good way to go. I'll go that direction with you. There we go. All right.
All right.
Let's get to some cards.
Absolutely.
For those listening for the first time, Michael draws a self-discovery inner oracle card. I back it up with a tarot card. And we've got a few names here that have been, because I did mention it in the chat, Michael, so we've got a few names. Let's start with Kathy.
Perfect. And again, we're just going to give it a little buffer time for people that are catching up, and also for the recording, because the previous little bit won't be on the archive, to explain to those that are catching up with us and why there was a sudden jolt. We had a power outage. About 5-10 minutes, we came back. We decided, hey, we're going to do a part two next week for our topic of what defines right and wrong. And then I had our broadcast program go a little skizzy for a bit. I don't know what happened there. So we're back. We're going to pull some cards. I think everybody's kind of caught up at this point. We appreciate you hanging in with us. That's why I love you guys so much, is we're this community.
Patience.
And yes, thank you. Patience.
Yeah.
And Dr. Vicky, who was our first card pull?
Kathy.
We have number 17 in the existential suit, reinvention. Good card. Good way to start us off. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented?
Well, when you have the Fool, which is the first card of the tarot, it's not foolish, it's the Fool, first card of the tarot next to reinvention, that's new beginnings. That's new adventures. So I'd say that you're onto something here, Kathy, reinventing yourself and starting out fresh. So if you're not doing it today, then that's what you're looking at, and I feel like it's pretty soon. So be strong, have courage, be brave, and keep your power.
Good message. Good message. All right, and I'm so sorry I'm going to have to ask you on who we have next and keep track. I lost
Deb,
my
have
chat.
Deb next.
All right. Deb, for you, I have number 24 in the spirituality suit, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or in a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
And I have strength to support that. You know, it's kind of in keeping with our topic tonight, Michael. Kathy... I just have to tell her to refresh in the chat because she said she's not hearing any sound. So I'm just going to do that there. Strength and support of truth. You know, we're talking about tonight, right and wrong, good and bad, that kind of thing. Sometimes we have to have a lot of inner strength and sometimes go really quiet when we're confronted with untruths, so or things that don't resonate well with us. So what I want to say to you, Deb, is you might be facing a situation right now where it doesn't feel right, but you know, you'll sort it out in time. So keep that will of your own spirit in play, and you know, although you might want to, you just kind of don't fall prey to somebody else's reality in this case. So hang in there with your own, and you'll see how it unfolds, and that you're not wrong.
Always good advice. All right. So who do we have next? Tabitha.
Tabitha next.
All right. Let's see. I have number 15 in the Existential Suite, Belief System and Knowledge Base. We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
Boy, I tell you, this is a weird thing. And again, in keeping with tonight's topic, Michael, this is my third major arcana that I pulled, temperance. So when it comes to beliefs and having that tolerance, that temperance when it comes to the rights of others. And I think where the boundary might be here for you, Tabitha, is when somebody else's beliefs are imposed upon you. And try to do it in a good way that you, you know, express where your boundaries are. That's what I'm seeing there. So.
Very true. All right.
Dr. Mike is next.
Dr. Mike. Glad to have you with us tonight. I have number 37 in the Life Skills Suit, Groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. And an absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine beliefs, assumptions, and opinions, and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover, and adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Well, this is the fourth major arcana in a row, Michael. I got the Magician in support of groundedness, and I find that, you know, it seems like a juxtaposition of something here about staying grounded but while in a transformation. So it's coming at something from different positions or different points of view to come to the same conclusion in a way. So that in this case, the Magician says that you're in a transformation, but no matter what way you look at things from your reality, you're going to come to the same kind of essence or understanding of yourself and staying grounded about, you know, kind of, in this case, I feel like what's next. So while you're completing this part of a cycle and going into another, it's all in that flux, but any way you analyze it, it's okay. And actually, that's just a great affirmation. In my mind.
Absolutely.
Okay, Kathy is next. Okay, Kathy, Kathy came up twice, sorry. I know Wendy had thought that Kathy was later, but it's just I caught her name for the second time. I think she was just being sure.
Okay.
So we have Wendy next.
Wendy. And thank you for keeping track. To those joining us for the first time, Wendy's our resident card keeper. She pointed out that Dr. Mike had the card Groundedness on March 1st, not too long ago. So really appreciate you doing that for us and always appreciate having you. I have number 4 in the self-responsibility suit, past, present, and future. The three universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Well, Michael, it's my turn to have a cat meowing here and on my lap. Gee, it's just
that's that kind of night.
A cat off my knee here. And so I've broken with the, you know, cycle of this major arcana here for you, Wendy, and we go into the Four of Diamonds. So that Four of Pentacles has to do with security, finance. Now, because we know this, you've just changed your job location, not your job, but the location of the job. And, you know, of course, it takes on a whole new color for you in life. And keeping in mind that this is about your stability, your security, your comfort, and that you have that. So I think that it's no matter what kind of I would just say what kind of resistance you might feel, it's just the unknown at the moment. Past, present, future is all in this moment. And know that you're gaining great benefits from what you're doing. I really feel that. So hang in there, even though you might have a bad day or two. That's what I feel.
All right. Good information. And just want to...
Audra. Sorry.
Audra, so happy to have you, and put one for you in just a sec, but just as a kindness to Kathy, she hadn't actually heard our message earlier because of all the shenanigans going on with the internet, so I thought real quick I'll just go ahead and read Reinvention to her, and also maybe it'll, you know, drill home for somebody else that's hearing it too. So Kathy, just real quick, your card 17, Reinvention, was, nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day, and what else in my life should be reinvented? So, just wanted to throw that out there for you, Kathy. We appreciate everybody being patient with all of the issues going on, so I thought extend a little kindness. But Audra, the card I pulled for you tonight is number 26, energy signature. Well, Molly really likes that one, so.
All right, energy signature.
Yeah, he's definitely picking up on the energy signature. So, Audra, this card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy. Remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Audra, I got the Ace of Wands, the Ace of Clubs, in support of energy signature. And I want to say... keep going, continue what you're doing. It's an assured success. So, again, what you're putting out, you might not feel like you're getting a return on that kind of energy investment, so to speak. Like you're not seeing a result. But what the Ace of Wands is saying, and through that message, is it will come. And you're benefiting in ways that you maybe aren't able to see right now or certainly feel. And I want to say hang in there. So continue to do what you're doing and don't dismay, don't give up, you know, keep going. It's I don't know any other way to put it, Michael. It's just one of those things. Success is assured with the Ace of Wands. It just might not be in the moment that we see it. So...
Very well said.
Okay, Jamil is next. I think that's, as far as I know, that's the last name that I'm seeing in the chat. Anybody can stand to correct me. So if I missed anybody, please put your name in there.
All right, very good point. I know we've had a lot of lot of stuff going on tonight. Jamil, for you, I have number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding, as well as to discover potential solutions.
Well, literally two cards. I went to pick up one, and two cards flipped out, Jamil. And the first one's the Three of Spades, which is often disappointment. But the Jack of Clubs is there too. So that Jack of Clubs means that you could be in a change of some kind. And maybe a little disappointment at the ride. You know, it requires you to be insightful and exercise a little, you know, some more of your knowledge base and your experience, a little bit of that wisdom to know that this is temporary. So whatever you might be feeling is a temporary one, and allow things to play out, because you're in kind of in a place of things changing. I want to say a dynamic is changing, and that's not always a bad thing. We just don't like it while it's happening sometimes. But you want the truth for yourself, you want the truth about your life, and some things have to play out, and then you decide if that's something you want to accept or not. And again, no judgment. It's just, you know, I may or may not want to have that in my life. So you'll make that decision as you come to it. But don't be impatient, is what I want to say. So
very good.
Again, this is the thing about a live program. And yeah. it's bound to have, we've been doing this a long time, Michael.
We have it that.
And we've had moments in the past, so we write it out, and we're so grateful to everyone here for their patience and, you know, hanging in there with us as we have these glitches or moments. I've had power outages, we've had things shut down, gremlins in the system, who knows, you know. But the upside is that we actually have this to be able to do it at all.
Absolutely.
And again, that's how I like to see it. Yeah, there's, you know, got a few problems here and there, but the fact that we can get together like this every Wednesday night, Michael, is awesome. And I know that Dr. Mike mentioned earlier about, you know, doing something like Zoom or something, and maybe that's something we need to consider in the future. Mm-hmm. And it's entirely possible. But the only thing about that is then you have to send out invites to only certain people. I don't know how Zoom would work where anybody could just sign on to be able to hear it. So we have to look at options in the future of what we want to do. I know we're evolving. We've talked about lots of things in the past, how we want to change. But, you know, it's we don't know. For the moment, this is a great format. And this week and next week, we'll take it.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a big element to the, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it kind of thing. But we do want to expand. And I think that'd be an interesting thing. And I think there's a lot of different avenues we can look at. So always looking to see how we can grow. And just definitely appreciate all the feedback and appreciate just that kind of dynamic nature that comes to the live chat and the live program. I mean, yeah, occasionally we'll have a power outage and animals causing a ruckus, but hey, it adds to the entire, you know, excitement of having a live broadcast and the dynamic kind of energy that's therein. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to part two of this discussion next week, kind of getting into some other points that we had. It's, again, a very deep and very weighty discussion, and, you know, it's such a matter of perspective that it's no easy thing to say, well, it's a balance, and, well, you have to pick your battles, and there's a time to stand up, and there's a time to, you know, let slide. And it's something that I'm really looking forward to delving into further with you, Dr. Vicky. So as
yeah,
we kind of,
I mean,
go ahead.
I think the whole defining right and wrong, we could be here for a lot of shows doing that. But again, the part two of kind of where we are, you know, from tonight is a good idea. And again, thanks to everybody. I want to say, Dr. Zach mentioned again, happy spring. He said that in the chat, and I was glad that he reminded us. On Monday was the first day of spring. And hopefully our seasons change and everybody is going to get out of this kind of winter that everyone has had, enormous amounts of snow. The skiing season here has been extended a couple of weeks for the amount of snow up there in the mountains, but we're finally seeing a bit of sunshine and you know, weather warming up. So I'll take it. I'm glad about that.
I know what you mean. You know, it got into the 50s here the other day in Florida where I'm at, and it, yeah, just really, winter won't go away, huh? I'm telling you.
I know.
But, no, I got to say, I miss the snow, but I think that's a bit of the grass is greener on the other side of the fence kind of mentality when it comes to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's a fantasy you have, Michael. You'd like it for 5 minutes.
But definitely wishing a nice spring and rejuvenation on everybody, time to grow, and looking forward to having you join us next week. So, as always, so thankful to have you. Can't wait to see you next week. And Dr. Vicky, before we sign off, any last thoughts on tonight? Or?
No, I'm just glad for everybody's patience, and I'm just glad for this group, Michael. A great bunch of people.
I'll echo that. So, you know, as the wise man said, ditto. So, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.